Hello, Dr. Laura Cassidy with the Dyslexia Resource Center, and I want to welcome you to this podcast, which is about Understand Dyslexia, a deep dive into what dyslexia is. So we're going to start by talking a little bit briefly about what dyslexia is and its prevalence. So I know it's a lot of big words, but basically it is an unexpected difficulty in reading in a child or a person that has the intelligence to be a much better reader due to a problem in phonological processing, which affects reading, writing, and spelling. It's very common. It affects about 20% of the population. It doesn't look the same in everybody because it can be mild or severe. So, what is the truth of dyslexia? So, you'll hear, unfortunately, lots of incorrect statements on dyslexia. And some of those common ones can be, one, dyslexia happens more often in boys than girls. Not true. It can happen in either a boy or a girl, and it happens about equally. It just so happens that boys act out more than girls. Girls sort of sit in the classroom and struggle through, but they don't act out as much. You could hear that dyslexics are not smart. Definitely not true. As we said in the definition, their IQ is average to above. They have a lot of strengths, which we can talk about, but their IQ is average to above average IQ. One misconception that is particularly harmful is that, dyslexia will go away. Not true. Dyslexia is for life. And along that theme, what people will say is, well, you can wait to get tested. We can't test till the third grade. That is not true, and it is harmful. We can reliably test at the end of kindergarten. That is the earliest that we can reliably test for dyslexia. And that is when we should be testing students, screening and testing students for dyslexia. So it doesn't go away, and it can be identified at the end of kindergarten. It is common in both males and females, and it has nothing to do with intelligence. So those are some of the most common myths and misconceptions about dyslexia. We can talk a little bit about the neurological basis for dyslexia, not to get too far in the weeds or to cause anxiety. But if you think about the brain, which we can't see, right, because it's housed in the skull, but most people think of it like a black box, and it is a bit like a black box, but we have MRIs. And when we look at MRIs, students with dyslexia and without dyslexia are reading. We know that students with dyslexia, instead of seeing the print and going to the left side of the brain to connect that sound to the print, it's going to the right side of the brain. And the left side of the brain, in 80% of people, that's where they read from. And it's a very good system. So unfortunately, dyslexics read from a more anterior, the front of the brain, and on this right side, as opposed to over here, where non-dyslexics read from. And the problem with it is it's just not as good a system. You can certainly read, but it takes more effort, and it's a slower system. That's the basic neurobiology of what dyslexia is. There's a little bit more, but if you can just understand that, and it's important to understand that because there is science about what dyslexia is. The MRIs really gave us a window into what's going on with the brain. So it's important for you to understand if you're a parent, and it's important for the students to understand. It's important to know that they're often very creative. They have good thinking skills. They can solve big picture problems. They're not great with memorizing a lot of minutia, but if identified, given the instruction they need, give them their self-esteem, they're just so integral to our society today, especially as we're moving toward a really technology advanced world. They're great with technology often. Dyslexics are smart. They have a lot of positive aspects They can succeed. And it's just understanding the whole scope of dyslexia so that you can either help them as a parent, a teacher, or yourself as dyslexic. So now we're going to talk about signs and symptoms. So some of the early signs of dyslexia. So if I think about it, you know, as a child ages, the first thing I think about that you can see in being dyslexic is delayed speech. So a child starts picking up words at 18 months to 2 years of age. So you're not going to tell the two-year-old, oh, you might be dyslexic. But, you know, if you're looking back on your child's life and you said, oh, yes, my child had delayed speech. They may not have, but that is commonly seen with dyslexics. The next thing is they start listening to rhyming books and they learn their ABCs. So again, we talked a little bit about how dyslexia is a problem matching the sounds of words to the print of words, right? And that happens deep in the brain. It's not a visual problem or a hearing problem. But dyslexic kids will often not hear. If you read them Cat in the Hat and you start talking about, you know, the cat and the hat rhyme with the bat and sat, or, you know, any of those common fun books, and then you ask them to repeat the rhymes, they just don't hear that. Whether the rhyme is in the front of the word or the back of the word, they're not going to hear it. Then when it comes to the ABCs, they can have difficulty. And remember, it doesn't look the same in everybody. So they may have some of these symptoms or signs, but not all of them. But you have to know A, B, C, D, obviously, right? All the 26 letters of the alphabet. They may have a hard time learning that A, B, C, D, singing the song. Or they may know it today and they don't know it tomorrow. And then the child learns, well, the letter A actually has a sound, ah, or it could be A, right? Or B is B. They have a hard time with that. So this is the beginning of the language acquisition, and they often will struggle in all of this or part of this. And these are very early signs. When they get older and they're in kindergarten, first to second grade, then they're going to start, you know, reading simple books in school. Often they're going to be struggling with the simple words, the consonant, vowel, consonant words, like we talked about, cat or ran or dog. They're having a hard time understanding that the word is composed of sounds and that the word can be pulled apart. So cat would be k-a-t. They have to understand that and then put those sounds back together. So you think about it. If it doesn't make any sense to you, what are you going to do if you're a child? You're like, certainly not going to want to read. You may not even want to go to class. You may put your head down in class because you don't understand it, or you can try to, some kids, they'll just memorize the words and you'll think they're doing okay because they've memorized those one syllable words. But when they get to third grade and they start having the multi-syllabic words, then they're lost. So what we recommend, if your child is struggling or at school or you're concerned, have your child read out loud. And if the child reads out loud and they're hesitating, they're saying, they take a while, they can't really sound out the word, or they'll know the word in a paragraph, but then in the next paragraph, they have no idea what the word is. These are all definitely signs that the child could be dyslexic. And in the classroom, it's going to be evident, like we talked about in the reading, not wanting to read. And if they're ever called to read out loud in class, they'll just be horrified. And they'll say, I have to go to the bathroom, or, you know, I have a stomachache, I need to see the nurse. So just be cognizant if they tell you, oh, I don't want to read out loud. And then Of course, the spelling, because it is the same concept and very complicated in our language, they're traditionally very poor spellers for life. They can learn to spell, they memorize how to spell, but they're spelling phonetically. So laugh would be LAF. That LAUGH makes no sense to them, as it doesn't make sense to most, younger students anyway. But you'll see those errors in spelling. Phone, of course, would be FONE. Writing, just the process of writing, it involves taking that word and writing it on paper. So you say, say they have to write a paragraph or even a sentence in class, like, Joey went to the ballpark. It'll be really hard for the child to get those words down on paper, and that often can be seen in dyslexia. So it's the reading, the writing, and spelling, and then of course all your subjects have a lot of reading. So it's an academic struggle in a child who, as a parent or as a teacher, if they're a smart child. So you're thinking, what could be wrong? And if you see these signs, then you have to ask yourself, could my child be dyslexic? Diagnosing dyslexia, this is a really important thing for us to talk about. So I mentioned that we can accurately identify a child as being dyslexic at the end of kindergarten. And one of the things that we see now in the states, different states, is they will pass and say they're using a dyslexic screener. Now, it's important that the screener is only a screener for dyslexia. If it's a literacy screener or if it's screening for multiple things, it's not going to be very valid. The screener that the Dyslexia Resource Center recommends is the Shaywitz Dyslexia Screener. And the reason we do is because it's has the evidence, it is incredibly accurate. So whenever you use a screener and you're looking to see if someone's at risk or not at risk, it's never 100%, but you want it to be as close to 100% as you can get. And the Shaywitz Dyslexia Screener is the one that's closest. And we recommend that to be given by the teachers at the end of kindergarten. You can ask your school, or you can, if you're a teacher, you could do that yourself. You could go to the school and say, I'd like to administer the dyslexia Shaywitz screen. And you can do it kindergarten, first or second, third. There's one for every grade up into adulthood. But again, the best time to do it is at the end of kindergarten. So if the child is at risk for dyslexia on the screener, you go to testing, because some of those, like we said, it's not 100%. So not all those kids will be dyslexic, but 80% plus will be dyslexic. So then you go to the full dyslexia testing, which it's important that it's clinical, that it is the person that's giving you the test ask you, how's your child doing in school? Has your child had tutoring? What's your child struggling in? How does your child excel? So again, they're looking for that unexpected. Like, they're great. They're very creative. They solve puzzles. They're good at Legos, et cetera. The older they get, the more that changes, but they're still just struggling in reading. And then they'll do testing for dyslexia, which looks at all the things we talked about. Basically, is the child having a difficulty understanding that smallest aspect, which matches the sounds of language with the words, the alphabet of language. And this should be done. And if the child is dyslexic, then the recommendation, of course, is they go in a program that has trained teachers for dyslexia and has basically follows the guidelines of the National Reading Panel. And that's really important, because if they are like, oh, your child has dyslexia, but they're just going to stay in the regular program, they're not going to get what they need. It's an intensive structured sequential program, best in the first through fifth grade, to get them the core aspects of reading acquisition and then progress them along so that they are closest to reading on grade level. That's where you're going to see problems. You're going to see the school say, you know, one, we're not going to test your child, but you can ask for that. And one book I would recommend is Special Education Law. I mean, it sounds heavy, but he does a good job of telling you what your rights are. And that's important because the schools do have an obligation to identify your child if they're dyslexic and then to give them the appropriate education. And they can't just say, oh, you have to wait. Oh, we have to put them in a pullout group. If you're concerned, then you need to have the confidence and get the knowledge yourself that you can get what your child needs, because it's important that they get it at a young age and with fidelity. Next, we're going to go on to resources for further support of your dyslexic child or a middle school child or high school child. So the great news is there's a lot out there about dyslexia, and there are a lot of products to help dyslexics. The bad news is some of them are just a total sham. So you want to go to the right place because you have a limited amount of money and a limited amount of time to help your child. I strongly recommend Overcoming Dyslexia, the second edition by Dr. Sally Shaywitz. We work with her and Dr. Bennett Shaywitz at the Dyslexia Resource Center. They have been doing research in dyslexia for decades. And so they're both on the National Science Panel, and they have a really deep knowledge, and it's important that you learn as much as you can. Now, the book can be difficult. I will say that. It has pictures, which helps. But there's a course on Coursera. The course is mirrored on this book. It's by Dr. Shaywitz, and it's simpler. It has different, basically it goes through the different aspects of dyslexia, and then it has tests at the end of each segment. It's free, or if you want to get a certificate, it's like $75. But it is a very good way for parents and teachers to begin their journey on learning what dyslexia is about. And why I like about it is that there are parents that talk and their students. So you learn a little bit about science, you learn a little bit about the law, but you hear real people's experiences and their failures and their successes. And I think it's very encouraging. So I think our website, Dyslexia Resource Center, is a great hub for you. We partner with the Yale Center on Dyslexia, and we have a link on our website. But I do think that I would start with either our website or that Coursera course and go on from there. If you want to know something about schools, Louisiana Key Academy, which is obviously located in Louisiana, we have several schools, but it is a tuition-free charter school for kids with dyslexia, and it's a great model. Now, there are private schools out there for dyslexia, and some of them are very good, but they can range anywhere from $30,000 to $60,000 a year, and most people cannot afford that. So we think that the Louisiana Key Academy is a great model, and I would encourage you to look on their website, because even if you don't have that in your town, you can get ideas and maybe partner to bring something like that to your town or community. And then lastly, the Dyslexia Resource Center does offer teacher training. We offer online and in person. We offer student testing. best in person, but can be done online. And we offer what's called dyslexia therapy, which is that I talked about that sequential structured way for a first through fifth grader to acquire reading acquisition skills. We offer that online as well. So, you know, no matter where you live, you have options. What you want to do is just, again, understand what really is going to help your child so that you don't waste your money and you don't waste your child's time, because the time is very valuable. So in closing, I want to just quickly go over and summarize what we talked about. Dyslexia is very common, seen in boys and girls. They're smart kids. They have incredible potential. They're big problem solvers. They just have a difficulty in reading, which can affect any subject, spelling and writing. They can certainly learn to read. They may be slow readers with much effort, but with the technology that we have now, speech to text, Grammarly, spell check, they can accomplish what they want to accomplish. The important things to remember is that you want to have your child identified as early as possible. Even though if they're in middle school or high school, it's not too late. And it's incredibly important they are identified, because it gives a name to why they're struggling. Then you can look on our website, the Dyslexia Resource Center, and see what we have to help you, no matter where your child is or you as an adult are with dyslexia. And again, I recommend that Coursera course on dyslexia. Looking at our website, and just know that the more you're confident in your knowledge of dyslexia, that you can advocate for both yourself, your child, or your student, who can have just an incredible impact on their own lives and the lives of others. So thank you. So we hope you'll join us as we can continue this journey so that you see what dyslexia looks like in real people's lives and what incredible opportunities they have, as long as we give them the support they needed and help with their self-esteem. So I want to also let you know that all the resources I've talked about today on this podcast are down in the description. So please take a look at those so you know where to go, so that you can get what you need to help either your student, your child, or yourself.